Big settings, starting transmission. You are live. We're back.
How y'all feeling? Hey!
Where are the real eaters at? Crown what? Eaters.
Yeah, it's not like that, man.
We know you mean crayon eaters. The world might not.
Somebody, please clip that. Please clip that. We're gonna have that. Where are the eaters at?
Yeah. What's up, everybody? I see crayon spam in the chat. Appreciate y'all. Keep running it up. We got a couple hundred people in here to start. I need to see a couple hundred crayons in the chat.
100%. I'm reading the chat. I guess somebody watched our stream with Let's Keep It a Buck on Friday. Somebody said 20-minute rant about Atlanta is wild.
Yeah, man. I shared it on a community post. Everybody, if you didn't know, we did a podcast with Let's Keep It a Buck that came out a couple days ago. If you go in the community tab of our channel, you'll see that there. Go ahead and watch that after the stream. It was hilarious. Like I said, Donovan went on a 20-minute rant about why he doesn't want to live in Atlanta, including the socioeconomic conditions of the city. He got real academic.
I messed up though, because that's a conversation. Listen, that's a closed door conversation.
And now it's on the internet forever. They literally just posted the clip today too.
They did?
But it has Isaac's face on it, which is even more funny.
I'm the face of hating Atlanta?
Yeah.
Let me pull this up. Dude, that was the only one that wasn't black to be the face of hating Atlanta.
That's even hilarious, bro.
That's crazy.
Let's go. That was the allegations.
Oh, let me pull this up.
Yeah, as soon as we get there. Please show us.
I gotta share my screen with you guys. Look at this chat. This clip is of Donovan talking on Let's Keep It a Buck, talking about how he does not move to Atlanta, and they put my face on there.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's great.
Moving to Atlanta is overrated. New York greater. That's hilarious, bro.
That's hilarious. That. Yeah, man. Y'all check out their podcast. We were on it. It was a real fun time. But as you guys see by the title of this stream, it's going to be a fun one. We're going to go over reacting to your NBA hot takes like we did the first week. But before we do that, we're going to watch some highlights together of the biggest performances of the week, go through all those, and also react to some of the biggest NBA news stories. So I'm going to pull this up here. You guys see, I got this doc pulled up. We got hella links today. We're going to get y'all's reaction to everything, run some polls, see how y'all are feeling about all this stuff. It's going to be fun.
Hell yeah, we got memes to react to. We got NBA news. We got highlights. We got the whole nine.
Yep.
Let's get into it.
This is what live streams are for.
Someone said, it's my birthday. Shout out you, Yoshi. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Yoshi.
Chat's going crazy. Tingus Pingus MVP.
Oh, my gosh.
Low-key?
Low-key?
He looks like he's a difference maker.
Yeah, I think we should start by going through these news stories that we have for today. Because there's a lot of stuff has happened over the last week. Last pod, we talked at length about the Golden State Warriors, which was fresh off the heels of yet another Draymond Green violent outburst. And as you know, after that, he got suspended indefinitely. We didn't really know what that meant, but today we got some clarity via Sham Sharania, who says, Warriors four-time NBA champion Draymond Green has started counseling process and is expected to remain sidelined via suspension for at least the next 3 weeks, sources say. How do y'all feel about this?
It better not be the counseling that Ja went to. Because Ja was in counseling for like 2 days, and he was like, hey, I'm good. My bad. Like, I was wilding. I should have done that. You got me. If Draymond went to that counseling center, the rest of the NBA is still in trouble.
Nice. Hold on. Real quick. Sorry, folks. I think I hear some dogs fighting outside of my house right now. Now, listen. There's nothing that I can do about it. But hopefully you guys don't.
Your mic's not picking it up, I don't think.
Oh, great. Yeah, man. That's fantastic.
Yeah, man. If Draymond misses 3 more weeks, how many games is that? Let's pull up the Warriors schedule. Because they are in dire straits right now. They are not doing great. And yeah, 3 weeks from now, that's what, through the first week of January? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. About 10 more games missing. So he'll miss 11 or 12 total from the suspension.
That's
a lot of missed games for fighting.
Yeah.
That hurts. Now, I will say, bringing Andrew Wiggins off the bench, he looked a lot better. He played last night against the Portland Trailblazers. I think he dropped a smooth 20 ball, played great defense, made a lot of great plays and cuts, and looked like the old Andrew Wiggins that a lot of us know and fell in love with. Mm-hmm. So they're gonna be hanging by a thread. They're going to be hanging by a freaking thread because so many teams have just simultaneously gotten better as the season gone on and they started to figure things out.
Yeah. The good sign for the Warriors is, I'm looking at, this is the box score from yesterday's game against the Portland Trailblazers. Keep in mind, they're playing one of the worst teams in the NBA. They won, and Klay Thompson has been fucking cooking for the last three games. 28 points yesterday. I think two games before that, he's been pushing 30 for three straight games. Highly efficient from three-point land. There is some chatter I'm seeing online, like, oh, maybe y'all are too quick to call him Wash. Maybe Klay's back to being Klay, you know? He just needs some time. I'm not personally going to assume these three games is just like law. This is what he's going to be the rest of the year. But it's a good sign, you know? Like, it's better than him being trash for these last three games.
Yeah. Listen, man, if you are trash for the first, how many games? For the first 22 games of the season?
This whole quarter of the season.
The washed allegations are very fair. Yeah. I don't think that we're overreacting if you play like trash for 2 months.
Throwing the season out, throwing away an entire quarter of the season in the Western Conference, which is, feels like we say this almost every other year, feels as stacked as ever. That does no good for you. There's no room for real errors and mess ups, and that's why this Draymond Green being out for potentially 3 weeks is, from what we are assuming, is still just like devastating news.
Yeah. The good thing is they got this win. We talked about it's over the Trailblazers, so it's nothing super special, but you know, they need every win they can get. They got this win with this being Steph Curry's chart for the game. 2 for 12 from the field. The first game without a three he's had in like a decade. So if you're gonna do that and still have a team be able to get the victory without Draymond, good sign. This is Andrew Wiggins' shot chart. He was 75% from the field. Another player who has not been victorious over his washed allegations until yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happens. Huge. Yeah, that's huge. Klay was on fire. He had 28. And then Wiggins, of course, gave him like 20, 25 off the bench. And then we witnessed Chris Paul. I think literally the only shot of the game that he, or one of the two shots that he made, was literally the icing on the cake for them to close out the Portland Trail Blazers. So they needed every single second. It's like, not that it's an encouraging win knowing that like our best player had literally the worst game that he's had in 10 years. But at the same time, it's like, ooh, it's all that.
Yeah. But it's a game you should win. And you know, one of the things of being a good team is you have to beat the teams that you should win. You know, you can't be blowing games to the Trail Blazers. So at least it took care of business. We'll see where they stand 10 games.
Speaking about taking care of business, all these people watching the stream right now, some of y'all call yourselves crown eaters. I don't believe it. We have almost 500 people on this live stream right now, and only 120 something people like this stream so far. Show yourselves if you're real crown eaters, man. What the hell?
You'll get spam those likes. Just 491 of you here right now. I want to see 491 likes on the stream. Do us a favor and run that number up for us. Let's move on to the next headline of the day. After that, this is a fun one I want to talk about. Victor Wembanyama has finally been playing center lately after the awful, awful lineup that went for the first 20 games of the year with him at power forward, Zach Collins at center, and Sohan at point guard. They've ditched that. They benched Zach Collins, benched Jeremy, and they've been starting Wemby there, and he has been eating as a center. 16.5 rebounds a game as a center. 4.3 blocks. This man is a beast. He's looking at every bit of what we hoped he'd be.
Exactly. This is what we wanted. This is what we want. We're so close. So close. Because we have been talking all season long about the point guard stuff. We're not going to talk about that too much. Because if they get that, we're unlocked. We're here. Right? Like, Wemby has arrived. But the center stuff is crazy. The three-point shot is falling as well. Like, he just feels much more comfortable playing at the five.
100%.
And being able to, like, to be at the rim, be like the true anchor of that defense instead of kind of this like roaming force on both offense and defense. It feels like he finally has a place on the court. And this is scary. This is scary because we talked last time about like our rookie of the year and Chet was kind of running away with it. Mm-hmm. If this is going to be Wemby for the rest of the year, that's a race.
Yeah, like, for legitimately. Sure. Well, it might just be Wemby. It might not even be a race. He might just run away with that bitch if these are going to be his regular averages. If he's going to have 15 rebounds a game.
If I'm Greg Popovich, I see this and I immediately move him back to the power forward spot and I bring Jeremy Sohan back in there. Fuck out of here, man. I need the number one, number two overall pick. There is no room for errors at all. Errors meaning good, positive stuff on the court right now. Wemby's going to be Wemby regardless. Focus on the bigger picture, which is getting a top 1-2 pick. Exactly. I'm starting.
We see Wemby a power forward and we see holding back of a star. You know what Pop sees? Pop sees Isaiah Collier. That's who he sees. That's what we're playing for. We don't give a fuck about Wemby's rebounds. We want Isaiah in the building next year. That's Pop's true goal.
You know what's funny too? I saw a report come out earlier today talking about how I already knew, and like a lot of people speculated this over the last few years. This up and coming draft, 2024 draft, is like pretty weak compared to what we've been given, obviously, over the last few years with Zion, Luka, Wemby, and all them boys. But this one is like a steep drop off. Like, what's a weak ass draft? Like 2015 esque, damn near, pretty much.
Yeah, so, it's not great. Yeah. I'll pull up a popular mock draft. But see, here it is. The names we have on the top for some of these mock drafts: Alexander Sarr, I think, is supposed to be a good big. His comp is Evan Mobley on this one. Nikola Topic, who's like a 6'6 point guard, but like, you know, one of those Europeans that are like, I'm sure he's gonna be passing with
Nikola.
Yeah. New Nikola just dropped. Ron Holland has been disappointing in the G League from what I've heard from people that watch that. Not me, so don't take my word for it. But yeah, all these guys are, I think, a good draft of like solid role players and stuff, but not the true superstars we've seen in recent years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Next headline.
What a tough time.
I'll skip that one, go back to it. Well, something we just talked about: Curry did not make a three-pointer today, breaking his 268-game streak. 268 games is absurd. Can you even?
How many seasons is that?
I think the last
math, over four, I saw, four and a half.
Yeah, I saw the pictures of like where, like what the NBA looked like the last time it happened. Jimmy Butler was in Minnesota.
Oh my God! Jeff Teague was still in the NBA.
Yeah. It was that long ago since he didn't make a three in like a regular season game.
Nuts, man.
It's crazy. He's the GOAT, man.
That is crazy, man.
Say another... it, man. Who the GOAT? Who
the GOAT? Same thing. Another headline. Last episode, we were talking about rebuilding the Warriors, and we were talking about players that are on the trade market who they and other teams can go after. You mentioned Lauri Markkanen, and I was like, why the fuck would the Jazz want to trade him? He's so good. Like, that's a core piece that you try to tank for. Why even get rid of him? The day after I said that, it was reported by several people that he might be on the trade market. Maybe the Jazz can look around and decide that it's time to cash in. If you can get another haul like the Rudy Gobert trade, they're going to do it. And we have reports that basically every good team in the league that would need a wing is trying to get this dude.
Yeah. The Utah Jazz, Danny Ainge, is a brilliant GM. You know, I... like you, Isaac, I think Lauri Markkanen is a fucking great player. But with the current state of their team and Lauri Markkanen, what, he's like 26, maybe going to be 27 later this season or something like that. I don't fucking know. But regardless of the fact, he's not good enough for me to hold on to when my team is in the absolute trenches. And I have like no idea who else could pair along with him right now. You know, I think the back last podcast or whatever, whenever we talked about it, you compared the situation to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I didn't think those two situations were necessarily the same because, of obviously, like, talent level was different. And then on top of that, same
now. A couple of years ago, Shai wasn't an all-star yet, and Larry's already an all-star.
Yeah, exactly. But
hold on. Don't know alert. Tyron has shipped. Tyron, thank you for tipping $1. He said, Don is my GOAT.
But that's going straight to my pockets.
That is true. Listen, every dollar that y'all send is going to get Mo out the hood. You guys already know it. Shout out to all y'all, to all the donations. But don't know. Shout out. Listen, I always appreciate appreciation.
Steph Curry fan in the chat said, are you guys going to be reacting to chat hot takes? Yes, we are. That's going to come later in the stream after we go through the news stories and after we watch some highlights together. After that, we're going to get to the hot take section, and we're going to pull them from Twitter and from the chat.
And then meanwhile, while we have some dead moments, we're going to be doing mini watch-alongs for 2 seconds. The Atlanta Hawks, they play against the Detroit Pistons. And earlier on Twitter, I announced today, if we lose to the Pistons, I'm no longer a Hawks fan. At least maybe for a week.
That is not true.
For a week.
Yeah. But do you think the Jazz can get 3 first-round picks for Larry? I was joking earlier when I said 5. That was like just a joke about the stupid Rudy Gobert trade. But do you think they can get 3 for him?
100%. I think that they can. I think that Lowry has like surprised everybody enough to like, oh wow, he actually is like a legitimate all-star. He can stretch the floor, like everything that you would want and need in terms of like a tertiary piece of a championship team. Lowry is that. And so he can definitely like change the outcome for a lot of franchises. And at least for like Danny Ainge, if there's one thing that we know about kind of NBA GMs all around, is that once they set their price is kind of like set, right? Like they're going to say, okay, we want this much. They're probably going to get it. And a whole bunch of people will bust it down open for a myriad of picks. And Danny Ainge is one of them. If you give three first round picks to Danny Ainge, he would do whatever you want. So yeah, Lowry can do
it. Yeah, man, I hope that becomes a thing, because we said it last time. If OKC gets their hands on this man, that changes the landscape of the NBA dramatically. They might fuck around and be the favorite if they have Lowry Markkanen.
That would be absolutely ridiculous. Maybe. I don't want to say favorite, but they're definitely right, like one of the three best teams guaranteed in the East, in the Western Conference. And they already are that right now as we speak without Lowry. So, if question for you two, if you were OKC, would you want to pursue Lowry?
Oh, 100,000%. 100,000,000%.
What would you
give them? Whatever they want, man. Josh Giddey,
damn,
all the picks.
Josh Giddey, all the picks.
Ship Josh Giddey's ass out of the town. He fucks up their spacing. Obviously, there's the other reason you want to ship him out of town, but even just on the court, he's been such a negative for them offensively. Get his ass out of another team that wants him and give them three picks, four picks, whatever they want. Lowry will make them a contender.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. He's kind of the one who has to go. And I think, like, with Shea being like the main ball handler, you can obviously know you can run everything through him. Jalen Williams is fine. He can do stuff. And it clears the space even more for Chet to grow and to take on a little bit more responsibility. So
if I'm I understand that. If I'm Sam Presti, like, I feel like the mindset coming into this season was just to let the season run its course and see exactly what you have. And maybe if this was like next season, then obviously you go ahead and make a move.
That.
But exactly, I agree fuck with that. You. It's kind of fuck that, because timing is perfect in star players who are perfect pieces along next to your franchise player is scarce. 100%. You know,
and
you
have the chat, perfect right now. In the chat, Requiem for a Meme said Lowry's one of the best contracts in the NBA. He only makes $18 million next year.
What? Oh,
if you could get that on your team, you 1,000% do that. He's a steal, and he'd be their second best player immediately. That's a perfect fit, like you said. Like you, I think it would be malpractice for them not to be the team that ends up with him if Lowry's on the trade block.
Yeah. Wow. And for a team like Oklahoma City, we say this all the time. If the asking price is five picks, you have 30-something draft picks over the next 4 years. Trade seven. You honestly have an abundance of riches in terms of draft capital to go out and make the necessary moves happen. And so knowing that he only makes 18, it's an all-in move, but it's not even an all-in move because the money's not crazy like that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You
got to go. Someone said John Collins getting more money than Lowry is crazy. It's hilarious.
Yeah. John Collins on the trading block too. Sorry, buddy. No one is trading for your ass.
Someone else on the trading block that will be traded for, our next topic. Jordan Clarkson is available for trade. Does he move you for a contender?
He should move certain contenders for sure. If you're which one specifically? Gosh, there's a lot. So if I'm like a team like the, obviously I don't think they'll be able to do it, but the Milwaukee Bucks, he would be a great fit off the bench.
Yeah,
he fits the Orlando Magic, honestly, I want to see this happen probably more than anyone, even though they're not a contender. You know me, I'm selling out every if you can shoot and you're a guard, send your ass to Orlando. That's
yeah, that's great. Yeah, I don't know who else could use him.
Maybe another
backup guard on Philly for the minutes where Max is on the court, like another dynamic like Maxi Light.
Yeah, absolutely.
These teams.
Absolutely.
Either way, he's another person. We don't got to spend a lot of time on Jordan Clarkson, but he's another player that's in the new mix for the trade deadline talks. He'll go somewhere.
Jordan's been good too, man. He routinely averages like anywhere between 15 to 20 points per game over the last few seasons for the Utah Jazz. This year, he's been kind of trash. His efficiency is in the hole. He's shooting like 39% from the field and 30 from three. But you look over those when you talk about a player like Jordan Clarkson.
The Lakers need more offensive firepower. Low key.
Yeah.
It's going all in for Zach LaVine is not the right move.
This
might be the smaller version of that.
Every time. Lakers fans are going to find a way to Photoshop this man in the Lakers jersey in their heads.
It's Jordan Clarkson. I think it's reasonable.
Stop 400 every time.
Jordan Clarkson start. Star hunting.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, man, those are all the things I want to talk about. I see a couple of links in here that I don't really feel like we need to talk about that much.
No. Wait. There is one that I do want to talk about.
Which one?
Hilarious. It's the funniest moment of last week. Is Giannis losing his mind?
Oh, trust me, we'll get to that. Wait, when we get to the highlights, we're going to get to that.
We need that.
We're going to watch that.
Full breakdown.
You know what? Let's start with that. Next thing we're going to do, I have a list here of highlights that we're going to watch together. We're going to start with Giannis's career high in points per game, not points per game, in points in a single game, and then him subsequently losing his mind after that. So this is great. Did y'all get a chance to see this game? Did you go back and watch it?
I didn't go back and watch the game. I just saw the madness all afterwards. This is like freshly off of a pod.
I have the highlights pulled up. We were recording the pod as this happened. That's why I had to ask him that. It was hilarious. We started the pod, and then halfway through, we checked our phones, and Donovan's like, Giannis is fighting Tyrese Halliburton? I'm like, what? And we looked at it halfway through the pod, and we saw this madness going down. What an insane night, man. It's hilarious that it overshadowed Giannis's highest scoring of his career.
And it shouldn't have, but he's out here acting like a fool. Like,
and like, he's been a running meme in the NBA between coaches and coaching staffs and players over the last few days too.
Also, bro, it's just these highlights are hilarious. Why do the Pacers have Aaron Nesmith guard the big wings on the other team? They just make his life hell. Aaron Nesmith is a shooter, a solid defender who's like not a bad piece at all. But him guarding Giannis, why are they putting him through torture like this,
bro? In the in-season tournament, Nesmith was guarding Giannis. And the way that – I think it was Dorsberg. The way that she was talking about Aaron Nesmith was like he was just this lockdown defender. And he had gotten into foul trouble. She's like, oh, my gosh, this is so terrible for the Pacers. They have nobody to guard Giannis. Like, he has four fouls. We need to keep an eye on it. And I'm like, it's Aaron Nesmith.
Like, they were cooked from the get-go.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, Giannis is going to get his, right? Y'all don't play defense as it is. And if you look at the – Isaac, can you go to NBA.com? Can you pull up the shot chart for Giannis in this game?
I sure can.
Because not only did he shoot 30 plus free throws in this game, but as we all know, the Pacers don't play defense. And the shot chart and where Giannis was getting the rest of his, 30-something points or the rest of his 64 points is the epitome of what Giannis Antetokounmpo is at his peak. Mm-hmm. It is no bag man.
No, oh my gosh.
To 11. And I'm not here to hate on no bag man, right? If you have one move and it's unstoppable, I'm using it every time. Like, you just have to do what you have to do, right?
Look at this shot chart, man. Let me switch back so y'all guys can see it. Look at this, man. Every single basket was in the restricted zone.
What is this?
And you know what's funny? I saw a tweet that was all the biggest scores given up by the Pacers this year. They give up like 4 45-point games and like 25 35-point games. Because, they're the Pacers, one of the worst defense in the league, top offense. It's hilarious. Yeah,
if you're going against the Pacers, bro, get ready to go ahead and have a career high. that's just how it is. Me and you, all of us in this call right now, we can each get like at least 4 points against the Pacers.
We can get 15. We can
15. All right, let's relax.
it's so funny. It's crazy. Let's go back to these highlights. I want you to watch his highlights. Look at every bucket that Giannis has. The Pacers are interesting because they refuse to help at the rim. Every time, it's just, if you beat your man, you beat him. They're not going to help off the corners unless you shoot threes. They're going to be like, fuck it, you better dunk us to death because we're going to shoot threes every time down the court and hope we can just outmatch you. It doesn't work when you have someone like Giannis who's dunking every single time. You just destroyed Miles Turner.
Hold
on. Y'all see this? Look at this play. Look at Miles Turner's ass. Oh. Bunk.
Shoulders to the chest and it's over, bro. He just needs to recalibrate all the Legos. Oh, you're falling for that. That's funny.
Bro, he's so fast. Like, Giannis has not slowed down at all. It's crazy. I've been seeing. I was listening to Thinking Basketball podcast the other day, and they were talking about like his peak years compared to Embiid's peak years, and they were like, by every metric, 2019 or 2020 or so was around Giannis's peak. He's kind of, especially defensively, isn't quite the same level he was when he won that DPOY. And you don't really see him jumping quite as much as he used to. He used to, like, remember back when he first came on the scene, he was, like, dunking over everybody every play, and it was, like, hilarious. Yeah. Now it's a lot of layups. But, man, he's so fucking fast still. I think he could go a whole game without dunking, and it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely he could. Absolutely he could. It looks like his layup package has gotten better, and he knows his angle, so there's no real need to go ahead and put that much effort into dunking when you can just off the backboard every single time. Yeah, the length,
you just can't contest it. Like, it doesn't even need to dunk anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So, he is unstoppable.
Yeah, man, this was, again, 64 points, capped off by this dunk, 27 seconds left to get the career high. Look at him. Gosh, after the game, though, is where it gets interesting. Because after this game, he lost his motherfucking mind. Donovan, you want to talk us through this after the ad? I got to get YouTube Premium on this account.
Yes, you really do. You really... No, but okay, so basically what happens is, so he's looking for the game ball, obviously, because he wants the game ball from his career high night. However, the Pacers allegedly take that ball because their rookie, right, Oscar Tshiebwe, scored his first official NBA points. And after the game, people said, oh, well, he scored in the in-season tournament final, right? He scored a point there. But the final does not count as a game towards the regular season. It's just a standalone game.
Look at him go.
Right?
The raging bull.
So Giannis, upset at this, also because he's at home and had the ball taken from him, goes up and is like, where's the ball? Where's the ball? I need it, right? Goes up to Tyrese Halliburton, right? Yelling at him, puts his finger in his chest, running through the tunnel. This is Isaiah Stewart versus LeBron level stuff, right? That's what this is. He looked uncontrollable, like a literal bull in a china shop. And he's putting his finger on his chest. We need the angle, though, because one of my favorite angles from this is Giannis is yelling at Tyrese, telling him that he wants the ball. And Dame is in the background like, yo, why is he tripping like that? Bro, like, what are you doing? And he just goes on and on, yells at anybody who will listen that he needs the game ball. Afterwards, tells everybody, he's like,
look at Dame next to him.
Look at this. He's talking to Tyrese like he's his father.
Bro, him pointing at him like this?
Like he's his father. And listen, we all like Tyrese. And I'm like, fam.
Yo, relax, guy. Relax, man. I didn't even take the ball.
Bro, why is he acting like Tyrese took the ball?
Yeah. Look at him. Look at this. You know what he looks like? He looks like, y'all seen that clip of Patrick Ewing yelling at his player when he took like some fadeaway shot? And he was like, step back, one-legged. What kind of shot is that? You work on that shot?
Oh, yeah. When he was a coach, yeah.
Yeah. That's what Giannis looks like. He's like, what are you doing out there? Look at the play. What are you thinking? What are you thinking?
Look at Dane's face. Like, this is like those old movies. That's skirt. You're probably wondering how I got here.
This is hilarious. Wait, run into more? I need to see Dane's face.
No, it's outrageous. Look at all these people with suits having to intervene because of fucking chaos is going down.
This is right outside of the Pacers locker room, and then you hear multiple voices, multiple Pacers people, whether it be coaches or players. Some people are like, don't give him the ball. Other people are like, give him the ball.
Please.
And just complete conflict, bro. And no one knows what to do because this 7-foot African man wants to come in here and tear everyone's neck off.
TJ McConnell's like, oh my God.
I don't have it.
Tyrese looks tired.
The following day, they were like, we cannot let this man bitch us like this. Put his hands on our franchise player, Tyrese.
Never.
Our most valuable prized possession like this. And they went ahead and they signed James Johnson.
Yep.
AKA, he's like a black belt. He's notorious tough guy in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
He's everything you want.
And the funniest part is, like you said, the fact that it was literally the next day. Like, it was a direct response. Like, oh, nah, this locker room is bitch made. We need James Johnson.
12 hours didn't even pass, bro.
And I respect it. I respect it. I think, honestly, I gained a lot of respect for the Pacers franchise because they understand that they had a need and they like, well, we got to fix it, right? Like, not only did Giannis have 64 on us, listen, you put your finger on my chest. Some stuff is going to happen, right? And they,
Chat, what do
they
y'all
said,
think?
They said, we can't have this happen. I appreciate that.
Chat, who deserved the game ball? The rookie who scored his first point or the superstar who scored his career high? Who would you give the game ball to if you were an official? Because Paul George weighed in on this. Paul George had some thoughts. And Podcast I believe... P. Podcast P. And he said... I don't think you guys can hear the audio if I play it. But he said Giannis overreacted, and he thinks that it's kind of code in the NBA that, you know, the rookies get the ball because that's a big thing for them, and that he understands why Giannis wanted it, but he probably overreacted a little bit. Is Paul George right?
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of Giannis in the chat. I think a lot of people are disagreeing with Paul George.
I think the ball has to go to if they were in Indiana, then I think the ball should go to the rookie. But they are at home. They are in Milwaukee. Somebody on the Bucks staff needs to be in charge of like, hey, we got to go get this ball. Because apparently Giannis doesn't even have the ball from the 2021 finals where he scored 50 in game six. And so he has none of his memorable basketballs from any of his like momentous games. Somebody needs to be on watch for that.
Yeah. And I think what Paul George said in this, Isaac, I think you misspoke a little bit, but Paul George was like, they're at home, so Giannis has the right to have that ball.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, and I agree with PG. Like, this is your crib. Now, if he was in Indiana, like, it's whatever. No need to act like a madman or anything like that. But his folks are there. Kids are there. This is a place you've been at in your career for 10 years or whatever. You deserve that fucking ball. Is it that deep? No. I think he kind of embarrassed himself. And
exactly.
As I said earlier, he's the running joke, the running meme in the NBA. And everybody just like, oh, yeah, I got the ball. I got the ball type shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. P said that in general, the rookie gets it, but because it's career high at home, he understands. Oscar is not going to score that many points in his career. This is going to be one of the most memorable moments of his career. I think Giannis probably should have just like not been a baby about it and just like let him have it. But then again, I don't think they knew in the moment that it was because the rookie had it. I think there was just like confusion and he thought they were trolling him.
But at the same time, how many more times is Giannis going to score 64 points in a game?
Whatever. Giannis is Giannis. He has so much more. Like,
I don't like it. Me personally, fuck that rookie, bro. I'm taking this goddamn ball.
No facts. You might not be in the league in 2 years. Like,
so he needs a board. Exactly. It's his prize.
It's not my fault that you can't score 4 points again. Get the fuck out of here. Get on the hell?
Get on the court. Maybe if you were good, you could have stopped me from scoring 64, and then I wouldn't even need this ball. You can't get on the floor. You hating from outside the club.
All right, let me move on to the next story. it seems like most of the chat is agreeing that Giannis probably deserves it, but he's overreacting a little bit. People are mostly saying it's not that deep. It was also like the Bucks staff ended up having the ball, so it mostly was just confusion of knowing what the fuck is going on, and Giannis just assumed they were fucking with him.
Yeah, and he assumed he was fucking with him because like he took the ball and he was like, no, this is not the ball. I know what the game ball feels like. And now it's like, okay, dude, what the
fuck? Yeah, that was crybaby shit.
Let's just move on. Yeah. That is like, you're crazy for that.
Wait, one more. Can we see the clip of the Nassus going crazy before the game ended?
Oh my God.
I gotta find it.
Restrained. Right. So if you didn't see it, and you'll see it in a bit, but like Giannis was going up for a layup, got pulled down. It was a hard foul. And Thanasis, like, he just snapped. He's like, you're not going to do my brother like that. He's like, I got you. I got you, brother. And tried to, like, leap off the bench and run onto the court. I don't really think he had any intention of getting onto the court. It was really just, like, you know, like a hold me back type of situation.
It was the fakest snap ever. Look, it was the fakest. Yeah. Man, somebody better hold me back. Boy, I ought to whoop your ass. Like, he did have, intention to win. Exactly, bro.
Yeah, I got this TikTok. It's TikTok. Won't let me zoom in. Yeah, he was over here, up here in the sideline, trying to get fake hold me back. He looks goofy as hell.
It's embarrassing.
It's all overall just a hilarious scenario, man.
Yeah. You got Julius Randle over here holding the game ball for Jalen Brunson after he scored 50, missing no threes. And he was like, hey, I got it. And it's just like, I understand it. This is the dangers of the male ego, man. This is a good listen to the crowd eaters out there. Lesson
Speaking
one.
Of Jalen
on
Brunson. Let's watch his 50-point game. We were on Let's Keep It a Buck. We were talking about Trae Young a lot, and we brought up Jalen Brunson versus Trae Young. And I had brought it up as like maybe it's a conversation, and immediately was shut down. Everyone was like, "Nah, Trae Young's way better." And I was like, "Yeah, probably a little bit, but Jalen's been incredible. So like, they're like 7 and 8. It's not that far apart." This man dropped 50 that night. It was magnificent against the Suns.
Yeah, man. I was watching him, and I ain't gonna lie.
Speak for your king, Mo. Speak for your king.
Listen, I'm gonna speak for what I saw. I think this night was also straight freshly off of the Let's Keep It a Buck stream, and I was watching him, and I'm like, bro, I hope this motherfucker missed. I ain't gonna lie to you. He's gonna miss. And every single three-pointer he took, he made. I'm like, fuck, bro. There was one three-pointer where he did it in someone's dome. I forget who he hit it against, but it was a right corner or right wing three. And it was his last year, I believe. hit the fuck out of the ring. It was a mean brick, and it bounced around the room for like three, four times, and it went. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I can't hate any longer. And I just had to check myself and make sure the hater in me didn't get unleashed. But trust me, I was going with Fitz. That man is good.
So many threes, bro. And like that's the element of his game that like he's not a bad shooter by any means. He's a really good 3-point shooter, but he not a super high volume. I don't think he makes his money in the mid range, getting to the rim. But when he's hitting threes like this at this high of a clip in the games, he's as good of a scorer as almost any point guard in the league.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Because he also like as a shorter point guard loves to post up, loves to get into the lane, right, throw his body around, be very physical, and so being able to have those two forms of basketball to play is awesome. And if you look at this, like this clip right here is the first time in a while that like the Knicks have the lead in these highlights. They were playing from behind for a majority of this game. And so Brunson is keeping them in the game and they need every single shot that he's taking. He just doesn't miss. He just keeps going. And look at this. We're 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And now the Knicks are up by 12 and they still just leave him open. After how many threes are you just not going to, defend? Look at this, man.
And the worst part about it, later on in this game, as a hater, he took threes just to miss one. And the unwritten rule in the NBA is you don't go home until you miss a shot. And he took threes in people's faces expecting to miss. And That's just crazy, didn't miss. Bro. It was just one of those nights.
Splattered in Torrey Craig's face.
God, bro, it's crazy. But it's okay because the hater and me won because 2 days later they went, or actually the next night they went again. They went against the Los Angeles Clippers and they whipped that ass. And I enjoyed that.
Listen, can I tell you something,
Brunson, man?
What
about that? Not only, right? I want to bring up some stuff, right? So you have Buster Douglas versus Mike Tyson, 42-1, right? You have a whole bunch of great sports upsets. That Clippers game was not as big of an upset as many people. It really was just like a regular game that the Knicks lost, right? It sucks. Sometimes stuff happens in the NBA. People get blown out. Last week, we saw two teams get beat by 40. Hey, it happens sometimes.
Oh, I forgot about that. You reminded me. I wasn't even going to think about the Clippers game. I'm glad you brought this up. Let me pull this up for chat. Chat. Mm-mm-mm. Donovan has talked a lot of shit about the Clippers over the past year. Somebody reminded us on Twitter, as you see here, says, I need y'all to hold Donovan accountable on the next pod for his team getting blown out by the Clippers. Man, did they get blown out. If y'all didn't see, the Clippers dropped 144 points on Donovan's Knicks. Supposed to be a defensive-oriented team. Got lit up. Donovan, you just gave us a brief explanation. Talk more in depth about what happened this game.
Yeah, let me hear about it.
Listen, man.
Say sorry to the Clippers right now.
Hell no. What do you think I am? I will never apologize for the slander. Everything that I've said about the Clippers in the past has been 100% warranted and is true. And I'm glad that I am so happy that they are here and that they are winning and that all these Clipper fans are going to be like, oh my God, we're actually good. Because come April, you guys are going to lose in the most atrocious way possible. And it's going to make my life so much better. Hold on to this win in December, right? It might be the highlight of your year. Who knows, right? But I'm not apologizing for nothing. Like I said, stuff happens all the time.
Chat, spam L Knicks in the chat. I want to see L Knicks. Mods, don't ban them, Mods. Let them spam. Don't be policemen. Let them spam in there. I want to see L Knicks all in the chat. Stop banning people for spamming.
Mods,
it's okay.
Mods, if I see one L Knicks, everybody's getting fired. One L Knicks, we're firing everybody.
Oh, let it roll in. Let's go. Look at that. It's a wall of L Knicks. I love it.
Oh, man.
Keep it coming.
While we're talking about the Clippers,
you're not on your job. We're going to see what happens. You think it's funny. You think I'm playing.
You say you're going to do a clean sweep. I'm dead. But the Clippers are genuinely good, bro. Don't look too fast, but
genuinely
these
good. I think genuinely good is actually a stretch. They're solid.
No, they've 100% been genuinely good lately
in the NBA. 11th best offense in the NBA. Kawhi Leonard has looked to his normal form. Over the last few weeks, I've been like, damn, this boy is looking like real Rudy Gay-ish. You know, he just wasn't. I didn't see him be be that aggressive or explosive. And for someone who has talents of Kawhi Leonard, you need him to be aggressive and assertive in the offense. And of course, while he had Harden, there was a lot, while Harden first entered the team, there's a lot of like sifting and going through that they have to do. But over the last 10 games, he's averaged 29 points on 59% shooting from the field and 57% from three, shooting 90% from the free throw line as well. He has been magnificent. The peak Kawhi that we've been all terrified of. Fact. He's back.
And right now they're blowing out the Pacers as we talk. They're up by 22.
Good God.
Those read off their wins in this recent run. They beat the Knicks by 22. Good win. Granted, they're missing some pieces that holds their defense back, but still it's a good win. 100%. They beat the Warriors, who are bums. Fine win. You got to beat them. They beat the Kings, which is a genuinely good win. They shut down De'Aaron Fox, if I believe. They beat the Trailblazers. You got to do that. Jazz, you got to do that. They beat the Nuggets in one of Nikola Jokic's worst games of his career. He didn't just walk into his worst game of his career. They played solid defense on him. Zubac played a great game. Beat the Warriors again. Home run. Beat the Kings again. That's a lot of good wins. Some of them are just crappy teams you got to beat who's in front of you, though. But a few solid wins over legitimate playoff teams. And I think there's reason to hope that, like, you know, Ty Lue in the beginning of the year said, give us 10 games of a sample size. Listen, through six games, they were 0-6. So we were like, fuck those the next four games. I've seen enough. But we knew it was going to take time. Adding James Harden into the mix here was always going to be something that wasn't going to be seamless. He started to figure things out with certain lineups he can and can't play. We don't ever see Harden and just a bunch of bench guys anymore. We never see Harden and Russ together anymore.
Yes.
They're really figuring out what type of pairings work for them. And it's starting to work. Like, you're starting to see them play in a way that, like, they realize, you know, the fourth option has to guard a star-level player. So, like, they always have a mismatch to attack. They're starting to shoot more threes. All their stars are shooting these catch-and-shoot threes. Like, everything's working. And the most important part to me, I feel like James Harden is really buying into the role. He's only averaging, like, 15 points this year, which is crazy.
Yes!
That's what this team needs.
Exactly. Listen, as fun it is to hate on the Clippers specifically, not because of I have any personal vendetta against them or anything like that, but they're the Clippers. Easy to make fun of and beat down. I am an even bigger fan of just watching pure, genuinely good basketball. And to see someone like Kawhi Leonard, of course, like take so many catch-and-shoot threes, James Harden started to do that so much more than most we've ever seen in his NBA career, Paul George being the seamless fit that he always has been, and Zubac playing some of the best basketball of his career. You know, Jokic didn't just have the worst game of his career a couple of nights ago for no reason. Zubac had a big reason to do with that, you know. And then Daniel Tice is there as well. They got that backup big that you need to play alongside James Harden at all times. So it's just like everything's just working and flowing so well for them. But the biggest story is, of course, Kawhi Leonard to me, man.
I have pulled up right now. Kawhi's been eating. He's only averaging 23 points in the year so far, despite a slow start. He averaged 23 last year, and none of us had these worries about him being washed because this year it's been more of an eye test thing rather than just a, you know, raw points per game thing. He hasn't had that, like, for lack of a better word, get into the rim and stuff like that. He's just been very, like, going through the motions, not looking like he's, like, you know, taking hold of a game, getting his own shot in the post, doing his normal bully ball stuff to create offense when things slow down. He's been doing that lately. I'll tell you that.
Listen, we will see what happens because on Wednesday, right, they have to go to Dallas and they have to play their father. And it's always tough to beat your dad in a game of basketball. So I'm very, very happy and looking forward to what Luka does against the Clippers on Wednesday night.
Yeah, it'll be
very,
good.
Very happy.
Man.
Look at this. Dunk. Oh, I missed. I thought he was going to make that for a second. I was like, why are they showing us this?
Still fantastic, dude.
Great game by Kawhi.
It's all right.
I just love watching the Knicks get scored on. It's good. I'm just sitting here enjoying this with the chat. Chat, okay, so let's go big picture now. Chat, do you think the Clippers can make a deep playoff? Or not, I mean, how do I rephrase that? Chat, how many playoff games do you think the Clippers are going to win? How many playoff series? What's their ceiling? Either first round, second round, conference finals, or finals. What do you think the Clippers ceiling is, chat? Someone said yes. Nice.
I don't know what it is. you know when they're going
two.
Home.
Everyone's saying two.
They can book their vacations now, right? There will not be stuff in late May. There will not be stuff in early June, right? get the discounts now for booking your hotel and booking your travel ahead.
Okay, but really, speaking, Donovan. Yeah, but really,
okay, really, realistically yeah. speaking, their ceiling is conference finals. I don't think that they can make the NBA finals. I don't think so either.
I think second round's most likely. But yeah. before yeah. the first six games, we thought maybe they won't make the playoffs. They'll be in the play-in race. So like, it's good that at least we know they're going to be back in this mix and like are at least going to win a playoff series. We think that's probably realistic.
Yeah.
Unless they're like a seven seed.
I don't know about that.
It's no guarantee. It's no guarantee they'll win a playoff series.
I'm proud of them, man. I'm just so happy for them. It's like they swap places with the Golden State Warriors in the rankings or in the standings a couple weeks ago. And so, man, they're playing beautiful basketball.
I don't know about beautiful, but they're playing better basketball.
Compared to where they were a couple weeks ago, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's the bar for them. The bar isn't high for them. I agree with Donovan holistically. Do I think they're going to win the finals? Hell no. But at the same time, I can appreciate what they've been doing off the court and the strides that Ty Lue and adjustments that he's made as well.
All right. Let's go back to highlights. Let's watch a couple of individual plays that were notable. This first one, man. We talk a lot about how Kevin Durant doesn't get to the rim like he used to anymore. Not quite the athlete, reliant on jump shooting these days. He shoots the shit out of the ball, so he's still fantastic, but he isn't quite the rim finisher he used to be. That changed recently in this game against the Wizards when he baptized Daniel Gafford late in the fourth quarter. Look at this play.
I want to watch this again. Here he goes.
Oh, passes it up. This is a long lead up. Oh, know, blows right? Bas Kuzma like everyone does. Oh.
Damn. I mean,
oh, listen, we got another donation on the board. Let me scroll up to this. Me. Oh, shout out to Jechi for donating $5 for rat poisoning. We're giving back to those in need. We're getting the rats out of Mo's apartment. Look at that. Appreciate you, man.
Send those rats to the street.
This is funny because centers are allowed to basically do moving screens in the paint, and Nurkic just like held Gafford so he couldn't rotate, and it got him dunked on.
100%. You see it in his jersey. His jersey's being pulled.
Yeah, and they're just like allowed to do that. Centers like on the roll can just like push people out of the way. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I love it. Man, shout out KD getting another body under his bag. I mean, under his belt. Pause. Next play we got. Jimmy Butler hit a game winner. This clip is hilariously dark. Why is the lighting so bad in this arena?
Good God.
It's so dark. Yeah, Kobe White 3, as he tends to do. Oh, just the whole 2 minutes. I don't want to see just the whole 2 minutes. Give me back to the game winner.
It's so weird seeing Kobe White's ascension like randomly for the Chicago Bulls. It's super shot. Cool to see too.
ISO, step back. Bang. Vintage Jimmy Butler, man. The Heat have been such a just kind of like stuck in the mud team that hasn't been very interesting this year. Just doing normal Heat stuff.
Yeah.
Winning games, moving up the standing slow, but not in a very interesting way. This is something interesting. Good for them.
Yeah, exactly. They're frauds. That's what they do. You should know their game.
That's not what I was getting at.
No, you're right. I mean, like they seem like they're stuck in the mud, just not very interesting and all that every single year, but we fall for it every single year. And this time, I'm tired of it. You have been scuffed. You have been scared.
Oh, yeah, we missed a donation. I just seen in the chat someone said it. 4 minutes ago, we missed it. Shout out to Tyron donating us $1. He said, merch idea, TD3 crayons. I will buy them. I missed that. Sorry, man.
Appreciate Listen, it.
I don't so know what working. The licensing deal is necessary to sell some Crayolas, but we can figure it out.
Hey, Crown Eater merch will be super dope. That's something we should talk about in the future.
For sure. It'll come in time. Let's move on to our next big performance. Something interesting. Oh, let's watch one more individual play. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander also hit a game winner against the Denver Nuggets. Did y'all get to see this game?
I saw this game live in full effect. It was beautiful. I literally thought they didn't have a real chance of coming back, but they always kept the game close. Chet had like 9 blocks this game. Playing fucking phenomenal. J-Dub was legit, as always, a tank. Isaiah Joe was doing what he needed to do. And Shai took the ball right in transition up the Denver Nuggets' heart. The spin move on, I forget who. I think it was Peyton Watson, poor soul. And he did poor soul. Like the Kobe-esque thing. Turn around, fade away. Oh, my God, it was beautiful,
Look
bro.
At this.
Yeah, dude, they were trailing like all game to the fourth quarter and storm back. It was a fantastic game. That's a difficult shot, bro. Like, we talk a lot about Shea being playoff proof, and we think that when he has the chance, he's going to make a legit run because he's going to be one of those guys that can really carry a team offensively. These are the type of shots of why we say that. Like, you can just play all game, keep it tight, and give him the ball to do that with the game on the line. That's incredible. Yeah.
Driving, exactly. Driving left, spinning like to your other hand, and a step back, and a step back fader. Like, he did this so many times last year, and that's why he was in the running for like clutch player of the year. And it just doesn't, like, I don't think there's a lot of people that I trust more than Shea with the game on the line. Like, I think he might be top four in terms of who I want taking a last second shot to win the game.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like,
is that crazy?
No, it's not crazy at all. I mean, I don't know if I go four. We write him out. I don't know if I'll get there, but he's in the running. Like, he's clearly been a top 10 player this year, and a lot of those guys in that range are big men who that's not necessarily their game, right? Outside of like Embiid and Jokic, obviously. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. Like, he's a ball handler that is incredible at three levels, has really morphed himself into an elite mid-range shooter, which wasn't really his game to start his career. Like, he could always do it, but he was obviously, like, came into league profiled as a finisher. So the fact that he can be so elite from that place to where he'll beat you on any given night, I don't know how you can stop him.
Yeah. Dude, he's... And that's why that playoff-proof title, Isaac, he's the king of that as of now.
Yep. Next highlight we gotta watch. Zion versus Wemby's first game playing each other. This was so fun to watch. These two guys on the court who are just like the polar opposite body types.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Like, they're so incredibly different looking.
Yeah. It's like, bro, Zion's body is just like so squished and scrunched together. Ooh. Meanwhile, Victor Wembanyama is just like elastic, man.
Look at this play, y'all. Wemby.
Look at these spin.
Wemby gets his post up on Brandon Ingram. Obviously, Vassell sees him. He hits him with a backspin to hit all the space at the rim. Jonas sees it and rotates just fine. Jonas makes the perfect rotation possible, but look what Wemby does. He still dunks over him. You can't be in a better position than Jonas is here.
This is crazy.
It just doesn't matter, bro. He has that length to just dunk on him.
This is
what you can't guard this.
This is what I'm saying. Let's get a point guard. Let's get anybody.
He can do this every play.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. He really could be averaging 27 off of just lobs.
Yeah,
the free throw line. It just doesn't make sense.
Shout out to Hawkes ROTY donated $5. He said, "I just got my first NBA jersey. Is Thomas Bryant? Which Heat player should I get next?"
Oh, interesting.
get a Dwayne Dedman jersey.
Why are you wasting your money?
Dwayne Dedman is absolutely disgusting, bro. You get your first paycheck and you spend your money on Thomas Bryant Heat jersey. God, that's very interesting.
This man, Evan Robinson, is spamming, "Please answer me. What are you talking about? I don't see your question."
Bro, how much are NBA jerseys, man? For your first NBA jersey,
that could be like a cool $200-$300.
$200. Let me see what this is.
Outside of Wemby on the other side of the court, Zion's been pretty good lately. I mean, he fried the Spurs, but you know the Spurs. But he's looking like better. Obviously, we all have that memory of the in-season tournament game where the Lakers shut him down and made him just look like a slob in our minds. But outside of that game, he hasn't been like just ass every game. You know what I mean? Like, he's looking like Zion a lot of these nights.
Yeah, I feel like this happens a lot with Zion, though, where he'll have like a bad game or two, and everyone's like, "This guy's fat. He's out of shape. What are the Pelicans gonna do?" And then he just comes back and he'll have a streak of 30 points, right? 9-10 rebounds. He's double jumping at the rim, getting all the offensive rebounds, and then all of a sudden you look up and you're like, "Oh wow, this guy's pretty good."
I think we kind might of have a superstar, if you ask me.
Yeah,
yeah. Zion's weird, man. He's super weird this season. Like, he's been better. I mean, over the last few games, yes, Isaac, you're right. He's been better, but he still hasn't been what we all thought he would be. Even compared to last year, like I was interested earlier today and I looked at his first 27-30 games in the NBA last year, and he had like five games shooting over 20 shot attempts per game or 20 five games he shot over 20 times. This season so far, he only did that twice.
So another donation from Daniel. He says, "Get my Hawk fan Mo out of the hood. Free him. Clint Capella should stay in Atlanta. If you disagree, you're wrong. Wemby is God. Hawks sideline broadcaster Tab Turner is kind of fine. Don't you ever disrespect long distance." No, I'm not going to say the rest. Don't disrespect Dwayne Dedman.
Okay. Wow, what a donut. That may be one of the greatest donuts of all time.
It was a mouthful.
Okay. He wasn't lying either. Whoa, not about – whoa. I'm talking about –
No. Okay, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
Be an Atlanta Hawk, okay? That's what I agree with. That.
Okay. Anyways, okay. Next thing we got on here, we're talking about Zion. He also dropped 36 on like 80% from the field against the Timberwolves, the top defense in the league. So further – evidence about the Zion redemption tour going on. He's starting to play better.
yeah.
Ooh, look at that.
Let's keep it moving. I have some stuff I'll tell you guys after the show.
That's great. So like, these donuts are hilarious today. Y'all are killing me. Every time y'all donate, I need y'all to donate with something funny in the comments. Like, I appreciate it when y'all are like, here's $1. Y'all my favorite pod. I appreciate it, but I'm more inclined to read it and really give attention if you drop a good joke. That's what I love in these.
Isaac said, you better dance if you want to get on the stream.
Oh, out. God.
You're going to start sucking and driving when you donate.
That's crazy. Yeah, we can move on.
Okay. What else we got on real here? Quick, Isaac, Evan Robinson in the chat says, do you think the Lakers should trade for Zach LaVine? And he said, plus his first NBA jersey was Rodney Magruder. Wow.
That's disgusting. That's crazy. Rodney Magruder.
Trenches.
That's wild.
He's had some self-respect.
Do I think the Lakers should trade for Zach LaVine? No, not really. I mean, if the price is cheap enough, sure.
What's cheap to you?
I'd get rid of D'Lo in a pick. Another. Each the Beast tipped $5. He said, who'd win in a fight? Ron Artest or Draymond? Ron Artest would beat the dog shit out of Draymond.
Yeah, it's not even close.
That's a real fighter.
I would be surprised if Draymond would be able to walk after that fight.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He paused.
Ron Artest. No, wait. There's no pause with that. Oh, my goodness.
There wasn't any pause.
I can't say shit.
Anyway, listen. Ron Artest, yeah, Ron Artest is like that. Like,
speaking of pause, there's a Skims. Never mind. Sorry. Continue.
What?
I'm watching all this game right now, too, and there's a commercial of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
And you
were another dono. Ro Daddy said he'll donate $30 to see Mo crush a glizzy.
That is crazy as fuck.
There's probably a cart outside Mo's apartment right now. Please go. Go get a hot dog and come back.
Crush a glizzy.
Listen, first and foremost, I don't eat hot dogs anymore at this grown age of 24 that I am.
Are you against swine, brother?
No, I ain't against anything. It just ain't for me. It just ain't for me.
I see this clip of Jordan Poole looking goofy was thrown into the dock. I haven't seen this. What is this?
Oh, yeah. Please bring that up.
Oh, he just falls. Oh, Draymond's ghost punched him.
They've gone so bad for Jordan Poole. I kind of feel bad when stuff like that happens. Hey man, you just gotta
and what's
go.
Sick is that the play before that, he did a pull-up transition tree, he tried to shoot over KD. He achieved shooting over him.
tree
missed terribly.
Chat, God, spam man. Tree in the chat, transition tree.
Oh, did I say tree just now?
Tree.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even catch that.
you have your retainer in.
I wish I did. No, I had a lot of spit in my mouth.
I was like, got a wet mouth. Spit.
Well, okay.
We're next doing up. A lot. Doing a lot.
I see you put Anthony Edwards BBL love in here. Listen, okay. I've seen some of y'all spam this in the chat. It's time to talk about Anthony Edwards.
Donovan, listen, can
right
you
now,
please...
chat, please spam in the chat. Send the video.
Send the video. Not the video, the video.
D-A. Send the video.
Show the video. I'm thinking this is hilarious. Someone said, yes, finally. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. Typically, we stay away from bullshit, but this is so fucking funny. I want to talk about it.
Donovan, so break down to us what the fuck happened, please.
Yeah, Donovan, take the ISO.
Shade room, Donovan.
Let's go, Donovan. Yeah, shade room. Say cheese, Donovan.
That's hilarious. So basically, Anthony Edwards, like
first, my bad, my bad, my bad. Right now we have 500 likes in the stream. 800 of you are here. Get this 800 likes while Donovan is ISOing. I want to see 800 by the time he's done.
Absolutely.
Oh, hold on. Another dono from Elena. I need to see Mo Cheeks and Donnie Glutes talk about the Anthony Edwards situation. Well, Elena, now is the time for you to get exactly what you wanted. Donnie Glutes, take it away.
Let's not start that. Anyways, so basically, Anthony Edwards, like plenty other professional athletes, they suffer from a sickness in which they cannot help but be attracted to crazy BBLs, right? And so Anthony Edwards.
BBLitis, let's give them the term.
100%, right? So he goes, you know, he's doing his thing, right? People messing around, they do some stuff. And apparently, this IG model that he's, you know, talking with, she's going to have a baby, right? Stuff happens. She's going to end up having a baby. And she's like, hey, listen, like, baby's on the way. And Anthony Edwards is like, nah, ma, like, I'm not ready for that. Like, I'm gonna need you to handle this, right? Like, listen, let's be adults, right? Whatever you need, right? Let's get it shaken. But I just can't have this in my life right now, right? I'm trying to win a championship. That's too much pressure on me. I can't do it. And she, not only is she like, listen, I've kind of done that before. I don't really want it. She says, look how cute it would be if we had a baby. And sends Anthony Edwards an AI-generated photo of a baby. And it's like, do you think that some cartoon baby is going to make me want to have my own child? Woman, what do you want? Right? So he keeps telling her, I'm gonna need you to take a little certain something. We can reverse the clock and go right back to nothing. We can do all that. And she keeps pressuring, like, nah, like I want this baby in our lives. And Edwards is like, take this, and whenever you do, send the video. Because I need to send the video. She says, No, send the video. Just keep sending it back and forth because Anthony Edwards needs proof that she is going to, you know, follow along with his suggestion. And so now the whole NBA knows that Anthony Edwards has this BBL sickness and that he is trying to stand on business by telling her to send a video.
This isn't I don't have the main tweet up that shows the send a video thread. The one you linked isn't that, but yeah, man, I'll try to find it. Y'all keep talking about it.
It's the worst part. The worst part about this is that Anthony Edwards, he already has like a kid on the way. He has an actual girlfriend. And there was like this video that he posted this on his Instagram story like last year, I believe. And his girl was like, yeah, blah, blah. I'm more important than your other hoes. So they're clearly as they like to explore in their relationships. None of our business, crown eaters. We don't judge over here, okay? But for someone like Anthony Edwards to go ahead and in that video, he said like, yeah, you know, like you're the only one who will get a piece of whatever I'm getting. He said that after he signed his contract extension. And so now 7 months later for this to happen, it's like, yeesh, Ant, we see why you had a very rough stretch of games back in November. You were not good.
Look how cute though. She said this random ass picture of a baby. Like, ooh, look, baby.
Exactly.
And he's gonna be like, ooh, gimme.
She wanted to use AI to be like, wouldn't you be happy as a girl dad? Wouldn't that be fantastic?
He's just shout out Tyron. Shout out Tyron, donate another dollar. He said, flip the script. What if Curry got punched instead of a pool? Draymond would be in Azkaban right now.
He would not be an NBA player.
He wouldn't be a person. His life would be over.
He would be.
He would be back in Saginaw. That's what he would be.
Saginaw. I'm thinking we ship his ass to Jupiter. We don't need that. We don't need that human over here anymore. Jupiter.
He's an astronaut now.
Yeah, bro. We're gonna send him on a trial. Go ahead and discover another form of life, Draymond. That's a challenge to come back, bro.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, crazy story. Listen, this has been a crazy couple months, and everybody already understands that stuff like this happens in the NBA. But over the last couple months between Anthony Edwards and Zion, this should be cautionary tales for professional athletes. And you will have to run a tight ship, right? You have to make sure that everything is in line, or else the whole internet is going to know what you're on. And we don't really need to know what you're on. Okay.
I prefer not.
I really do. I want to talk about your fadeaway jumper. I want to talk about you faking pressure to get to the NBA Finals, not about you asking people to send a video. All right? Get yourself in check.
2019 NBA draft, or 2018, my bad. Number one overall pick, DeAndre Ayton, BBL monster. 2020, Zion Williamson. We all already know.
But
2019, my bad. 2019, Zion. We already know. 2020, Anthony Edwards. Same exact thing. Good God, we can't do nothing but pray for these young brothers.
Good God, man.
That's hilarious. Hey, man.
Wow.
No, man. I think we move on now to the thing people are here for. Let's get into some fucking hot takes.
Come on.
Y'all ready? Chat, uh-oh. I have a few links here from Twitter. I made a Twitter poll. We're going to go over these hot takes, and I want y'all to spam your hot takes because I'm gonna mix in your chat hot takes with these. So keep them spamming up. Mods, let them spam. I want to see as much spam as possible. Let's get these chats up. Spam your hot takes while we go through these.
And while you're spamming your hot takes, go ahead and spam the like button too. We need at least 650. Right now there's 590 likes in this. This could, but it's a damn near unacceptable. Crown Neuters, let's show up for real.
Yeah, so y'all see we made this post on our Twitter. So if you're not following us, go ahead and follow us. I'm not going to reveal what it is, but next week there will be a very important reason for you to be following us. So go ahead and do that because big things coming. First hot take. Tim Duncan is easily top five all time and clears Kobe as the best player in the 2000s. We can ignore the clears Kobe part. Irrelevant. Is Tim Duncan top five all time?
100%. Y'all know where I stand on this.
Yep.
Y'all know where I stand. Of course he's top five.
You know where Donovan stands. He's been saying Tim's a number four player of all time for a long time. Have you been swayed to his side?
I don't want to say swayed necessarily, but I can agree with it. Tim Duncan was vastly underrated for a lot of different things, but when it comes to strictly his production on the court, and on top of that, how long he was be able to be productive, the different eras of championship teams he was able to be a part of, he is easily one of the greatest players of all time. One of the five, sure, I'll let you run with that. But I just don't like the easy part because it's not an easy conversation. It's very hard.
Not at all. Because it's him versus – basically it's him versus Magic and Bird. That's not easy at all. I don't hate you for putting top five. I go Magic and Bird personally and put him at like six. But I understand. Either way, yeah. I think we can give this a W take.
This is a good take, though, for sure.
Shout out.
W take.
Let's take one from the chat. Let me just slow this down. He said Haliburton isn't top 10 right now.
Like top 10 player or top 10 point guard?
No, he's obviously top 10 point guard. Do you think Haliburton's a top 10 player right now?
Yeah.
No. No, he's not a top 10 player. There are 10 players better than him. Now, is he having a top 10 season? Yes.
Oh, yes. W take. Well, Haliburton, you're not top 10. Is he top 15?
Easily. Yeah. Easily.
I think so, too.
Easily.
I think so, too. For those who – next week, we're doing our pod. Spoiler alert, we're going to be ranking some players of some sort. I am putting Tyrese Haliburton in that range on my rankings when I'm thinking about them. So I think that's totally reasonable.
Yeah, agreed. I already know where he's at. I agree with you. Pie Green, whatever your name was, you are in your bag.
Next one. Shea is currently a better player than Steph Curry.
Not fair.
This is by Shea Stan account. Keep that in mind. Owned by Shea.
No, sir. I can't agree.
This L take is an L take for sure. Shake. Yeah. Steph Curry right now is the best point guard in the NBA and has been that over the last few years. And he's done nothing this season to make you think that he isn't the best point guard in the NBA, bro.
Yeah, he hasn't slowed down at all. People are bored with him and want to be like Shea and Luka are better because they're the, you know, shiny new toys on the block. Their teams are better. The Warriors are in hell. They're not in hell because of Steph at all. We all know Steph hasn't lost a step, is defying father time in the same way LeBron is, and is honestly still in his prime at 35. There's no reason to have Steph outside the top four players in the league and as the best point guard.
Shea coming, though, but he is, no matter what, he cannot surpass what Steph Curry is right now.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
Next one, another Shea-related one. There's just a lot of Shea in the comments at all times.
Because he's very much like on that borderline of like top 10, right? Those lists.
Listen, tell me if he's on this borderline.
Right.
Duffalo says, Shea will be the greatest player of all time. I know it sounds crazy, but if you look into it, almost every statistical category points towards this.
Like what? Like what are we talking about here?
Delusion? Drugs?
Duffalo, can you click on his profile? Let's learn some more.
Shea, oh, looking at Michael Jordan.
That's crazy as fuck.
God.
The glazing is an all-time level. Holy shit.
No, this is an eater. Chat, spam eater. The Thunder will be a dynasty. Winning 3+ rings, and SGA and Chet will be the face of the league. Leave your receipts now. This is my pin tweet for the rest of the decade.
Yo, Shay need to cut him a check with the type of propaganda that he is pushing. I can't do nothing but respect it.
Eater. Yeah, L take.
Yeah,
I love Shay.
That's bad.
Very much an L take, but to be the greatest of all time, bro, you gotta, man. There's we can't talk about the feats that have to be reached, bro. Let's just appreciate what he's doing right now.
Let's get a playoff series. Let's get a playoff series win under his belt before we start talking about GOAT stuff.
Let me take a hot take from the chat now. Demo says Derek White is the best role player in the league right now.
I would agree with that. He has been fan fucking tastic, bro. On all levels of the court, super impactful. I would argue consistently every night, he might be like the third most impactful player on the Boston Celtics. Easy.
I would agree easily. W take. I think when you get into what a role player is, maybe there's like, we talked before, is Jaren Jackson considered a role player? I don't know, like these high-level defensive guys. But for people that are like legitimately role players, not like defensively oriented stars, Derek White's cream of the crop right now.
Yeah, exactly.
W take. This is a very pro Derek White pod.
Facts. Let's take another. Pink Oculus says Cam Thomas deserves an all-star spot if he keeps this up.
Hell
break
no.
To you. I love Cam Thomas more than anybody. L take. That man is not going to be an all-star. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, appreciate Cam Thomas for what he is, but there's only so far you can take your team when all you want to do is be a bucket.
He's a great player, said though. Naz Reid in the category for best role players. He's up there, but I think Derek White's clearly the better player for now. But listen, as big of Derek White guys we are as big Naz Reid guys.
Yeah, Naz Reid is definitely one of the 5 best role players in the NBA, easily.
Someone said Pajemski is a future all-star. Stay off the weed.
Who is arguing that? That's gross.
This man thinks it's a 2K my league. He's trying to project forward.
I know. All right, let's go back. Oh, we got another tip. Medi says, Kevin Durant isn't close for top 20 all-time to me since he doesn't have any actual rings. Oh, God. And every time he's put on a team that isn't perfect, he fails and underperforms by a lot in the playoffs.
Yeah, let's turn this up. Right, let's talk about it. Because outside of Golden State, where has Kevin Durant been?
Where has he been?
Home.
Where has he been?
In terms of accomplishments. He's saying, what has he accomplished?
He has not been to the finals. We've seen the decline. He got swept in the first round by the Boston Celtics. Listen.
To be fair, he should have ran away with the finals in 2021 if Curry and Harden didn't fall apart. I mean, if Kyrie and Harden didn't fall apart.
His shining moment is people saying like, you stepped on the line. And if you didn't, you probably would have won it. It's another if scenario, right? I need results from Kevin Durant because this is yet another situation that he has gone to. And I honestly, like, at this point, I can't even blame him, and I'm not even upset that he's not getting stuff done because those expectations are gone for me. I don't expect Kevin Durant to lead any team to a championship right now. And his team also just can't stay healthy. Like, Bradley Beal played, like, 2 games, and now he's going to be out again because of injury.
His ankle did a 90-degree angle within, like, the first few minutes of the game. So it's like,
do some yoga. Prepare your ankle. Like, bro, I need you to get back on the court, man.
It seems like with how unfair and how unbalanced KD made the league, it's like the basketball gods are like, curse. You're not seeing no success by any means for the next 10 years of your basketball career, and you're going to retire just not reaching any type of accomplishment for real. But Kevin Durant, as the individual talent, is, like, so hard to keep away from those top 20 conversations, even though, like, talent can only take you so far in those conversations. But at the same time, bro, he's averaging 30 points right now on 50% shooting from the field and 47% from the three-point.
And he's old.
He's 35. He's
not winning a chip. What he needs, like you said, how karma kind of, like, told him, hey, you're not going to win anymore. He needs something in reverse to happen. He needs something equally, as good as the Warriors' run is, he needs something equally as bad to happen to him so that he could get right back on page five. He needs to release a sequel to Thunderstruck. Right? That would be as bad. And then maybe the basketball guys would be like, okay, you've done enough. You've suffered enough.
That's hilarious. Well, the hot take was that he isn't top 20. So that, my friend, is an L take. But outside of that, I understand the propaganda. We got a few donations to catch up on right now. Tyron tipped another $1. Shout out Tyron. He's running it up. He said, Mavs fan here. Luka needs to get out of Dallas to have an S-tier career. Do you think Luka's on his way out of Dallas by the end of his career?
Man. He should. That's shocking to hear from a Mavs fan, considering this is arguably – no, this is not even arguably. This is one of the best starts that they've got into early in the season in the Luka Doncic era. So it surprised me to say that. I think that the Mavs have made a hell of a lot of mistakes going into this over the last few years. The Jalen Brunson thing, how the Kristaps Porzingis situation was handled, the fact that he was brought there for so much only for him to be gone in a short span of time. But I don't know. I think if this Kyrie situation was to absolutely not pan out in the next 2 years, then yeah, he should be out of there.
Yeah, too early to tell. But obviously, they don't have a ton to work with. There's no real young core. They're kind of flying by the seat of their pants. So he doesn't need to leave, but it won't be shocking if it gets to that point. Daniel donated $6.90. Nice. He linked a short of his, I think. I can't click links from this, so sorry, man. Next one. Nikhil took $5. He said, are y'all taking Kevin Durant or Justin Herbert in what-if scenarios?
Oh, I'm taking Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert in what-if scenarios is Tom Brady. He just is the best quarterback of all time. Like, if you gave him a good coach and wide receivers who could catch and are fast and a solid defense and a fan base who cared, he would be.
All right. Next hot take.
That hit home.
Next thing from Gilman. Gilman says, if the OKC Thunder trade for Lauri Markkanen, spelt it horribly, they will win the NBA Finals this year.
Listen, shout out to phonetic spelling. You spelled Markkanen exactly how it sounds. Shout out to you.
True. He's probably not a native English speaker. That is, honestly, you could have done worse.
I'm not taking that leap on the native English. But shout out to this take, though. Isaac said that they would be a real favorite earlier in the stream. I think that, okay, yeah, I'll jump on the bandwagon. I'll say if they get Lowry, yeah, they're winning the chip.
This is a bold take.
Actually, no. It is.
Bold. W take, fuck it. Okay, so he's winning.
I want to say W take because I love the confidence in this. I wouldn't rock with it, but this is a W take because it's not like, oh my God, this dude is insane. You want a son, maybe. We'll see.
W take. Spam it up. This is a W take. Like Mo said, it's not a guarantee, but it's not crazy by any means. They're already the 2 seed, already one of the best teams in the West. Adding Lowry, you can't understate how perfect of a fit he'd be and how he'd solve all their problems. They're not the best rebounding team in the league. They're kind of small. Add in a 7-foot motherfucker that can grab boards. Their shooting is good, but it feels a little unreliable because they get a lot of 3-point shooting from guys who aren't traditionally great 3-point shooters. Add in a 7-foot guy who can spam from three. Everything they're not good at right now, Lowry excels at. I think it would make them, you know what this would be? This would be like when the Nuggets traded for Aaron Gordon and solved all their problems. This would be their version of that. But he's better than Aaron Gordon.
Yeah. Lowry Markkanen is he's one of the, quite literally, one of the most efficient scorers in the entire NBA, and he's been that over the last 2 years. So I want to see it as much as y'all want to see it.
Next one. This guy says, the Pelicans need to trade Brandon Ingram and Jonas Valanciunas if they want to make a deep playoff run. Is he cooking?
He's cooking. One of them needs to go.
Just one?
They need just one. They need to figure out how to get as many complimentary pieces as possible. We've talked at length about how there's just a lot of cooks in the kitchen. And even though that people like kind of fall into their role, especially whenever like CJ's there, and now that the role players are back, they're playing better. It's still just a little bit off in terms of championship potential. So yeah, shake something up.
Yeah, I would say I would agree overall holistically with this. Something needs to happen. Right now, it's too soon because this is the first time in like forever in the Pelicans' history where everyone's like healthy on the court. So you need to see what happens. But overall, I don't absolutely love the fit of Brandon Ingram, especially this season. But that's easy to say because he's not having he's having a down year and shooting across the board. He's not shooting well from three, or as well from three, not shooting as well from the free throw line. So overall, he's like regressed a little bit, but hopefully as the season goes on, he'll learn to, or not learn, but he'll become more efficient as the season goes on from the 3-point line especially. But it's not a perfect fit.
Yeah, I agree with this take. I've been saying, everyone says it, right, that Jonas has to go eventually. As good as he is, not a good fit with Zion. You're never going to maximize Zion unless you have a stretch five next to him. That's just the nature of having a pure slasher as your power forward.
Yeah.
I'm getting more and more on the board, on the train with Brandon Ingram has to go too. Again, he's great. Nothing to do with him. Just not the best fit there when you have all these ball handlers, like Donovan said, lots of cooks in the kitchen, lots of on-ball scorers. And I just feel like you need a free Ingram for him to thrive somewhere else and allow Trey Murphy to start and be that stretch guy next to Zion. You can, you know, pair somebody else with Ingram to try to upgrade really big at another position. Because they have a lot of depth and a lot of young guys who can step up and have bigger roles. So I think
it's a consolidation trade.
Exactly. So I think a consolidation trade for the next guy, whoever that is, that makes sense with Zion, is in the cards for them.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
W take.
Good job.
We got two donations. We got from Space Pegasus, says, nothing shows somebody has no basketball knowledge than when they put Kobe top three all time, or even worse, as the GOAT.
Damn.
I agree he's not top three or the GOAT. I won't get all dramatic about it, but I agree he tends to get elevated into conversations off of nostalgia more than anything. But yeah, we know he's not top three. It's not really expected in serious conversations. Next one. AAA says, the Hawks need to trade for Draymond to fix their defense.
Huh.
Interesting.
I've never thought about that.
Me neither.
Now, right now as we speak, because we have Jalen Johnson, I wouldn't be so like on board with this trade. But holistically, overall, I would like this trade because Draymond would help. He would fucking unwind the ISO dominant player that Trae Young is. Not completely, of course. Like, that's his bag at the end of the day. But when it comes to adding another element of his game and throwing off the defense, Draymond Green's just appearance and voice on the court and the basketball knowledge he'll be able to just spread everywhere to these guys. I like that idea. I love that idea. And I would do it. It just
basketball
depends on what you want.
Knowledge. But I think if they did that, they'd have to get rid of DeJounte Murray. Because Draymond, DeJounte, and Trae Young is a horrible fit.
That's not going
to
work.
And Draymond, even with just Trae, isn't the best fit in the world, unless you're trying to get Trae to fully, like you said, get rid of the ISO ball and like completely change the style of play. I don't know if that's what they need, but
that's a huge risk.
Yeah. I could crash and fail. That's kind of what they try to do with DeJounte, and it hasn't worked, so.
Exactly. You might as well
get someone who actually put hands on if you don't fucking give us the ball after 20 seconds. Let's do that.
Let's threaten him with retaliation.
Yeah.
All right, let's get a couple hot takes in the chat. Let's see. What does chat got for us? Hot take. Giannis is the best player in the league right now. I see you got a Giannis profile picture. Sorry to tell you, Jokic better.
Damn.
Let's see. What else we got? Lunch. Oh. My chat, oh, there it goes.
Okay, real quick, so crazy. I got right a now. Hot take. Jax Roderick says, if you put Jaylen Brown in Jordan Poole's current situation, there would be very little difference in on-court production. This is coming from a Celtics fan. Brown doesn't catch enough strays. Wow. Hot as fuck.
I mean, it's not like
I think that's
anybody.
Oh, go ahead.
But no, I'm agreeing with you. Like, come on. He would not be as bad as Jordan Poole is right now.
Yeah.
What we're seeing from Jordan Poole is like a perfect combination of trash team and just an all-time. Obviously, like, there's been worse seasons. But in terms of like players who are like the lead on their team, or the
all-time,
figures,
you're not like that.
We're having a kind of an all-time embarrassing season from Jordan Poole.
Yeah. I think Jaylen Brown deserves a lot of flack for their playoff issues and overall big picture flaws with this team. I think he's the guy, though. You put him on his own team, he's going to fucking cook. He's going to average 28 and just be eating with nothing else around him. He would thrive as a good stats, bad team guy, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's too much. That's an L take for you, Jackson. Sorry, man.
I'm looking through the chat again. There's so much Pajemski love. I forgot how many fans the Warriors have. So many hot takes about this guy.
Nice, man. He could hoop.
Yeah, he's good. Some people are saying SGA for DPOY. Relax.
He's great defensively, man, but yeah, not that great. God damn, DPOY, one of the better defenders for sure, but sheesh.
Yeah, he's good. Someone said prime Isaiah Thomas, 5'9", was better than Celtics Kyrie.
Okay, which Isaiah Thomas? Oh, yes. You said 5'9"? Okay.
Celtics.
No. No.
Simple. Yes. He was a tire fire on defense. He was 5'9". No, he was not. Kyrie with the Celtics that year, his first year when he was really good, was the best version of Kyrie. He was playing within the system, running the dribble handoffs, by far his best passing year, by far his best defensive year. That version of Kyrie, if that was his career for his, that was the version we got for 10 years, so much better of a player.
Bam. Do you understand that they were making conference finals with Avery Bradley as a two guard? Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder, right? Like, these were the guys, this man is out here carrying the team. Like, I think that if we're just talking about 1 year peak, and this is still whatever Isaiah Thomas thinks of himself, he thinks of himself as that guy. But he was top five in MVP voting. He was amazing that year. I don't think it's like a clear cut Kyrie was better.
I mean, listen, we know there's plenty of times where people have top five seasons, but they're not necessarily the better player. That happens all the time. I think he was a crazy clutch scorer. He had a fantastic year playing out of his mind. Would you really take him over Kyrie if you're trying to build a contender?
Absolutely. If he was playing like that, I would.
No, but in order to have him play like that, you have to sacrifice so many other things like on your team. Damn, could this be what like a Trae Young?
Time out. Can we slow this down? Because I actually do want to talk about this. Y'all act like for the last 8 years, we haven't seen Kyrie away from LeBron, Kyrie as team leader. And like, we haven't seen that whole scenario play out. So why are we acting like it's a clear cut? Like, oh yeah, I would rather build my franchise around this guy over Isaiah Thomas. In that peak form, if we're going peak for peak and we're building teams around that.
So you really think you can build a championship team around Isaiah Thomas?
I think as much as you could build a championship team around Kyrie Irving.
I don't even know what to say. I mean, like, come on. I don't want to shit on Isaiah Thomas. He was great that year, but like, be serious. Yeah, you say as much. There's no ceiling play for your team being better with Isaiah Thomas than there is Kyrie. There's no way that you can project to ever be a great defense with that and to ever be actually like, I just don't know. What's the benefit? Like, I don't even know.
Inspiration. Vibes for all the short king out there. My dad is like 5'7". He loved Isaiah Thomas, man. He never loved a player like that before. But that's it.
The Boston Celtics.
It was a better season. He was great, but come on.
The Boston Celtics, that year, that whole, like, that regular season, were the sixth best defense in the league. Right, so if you're talking about
sir, you're kind of capping right now. I'm looking at it and it says they're a 13th best defense.
2018, 2019.
I'm looking at 2016, 2017.
2019 is when they had Kyrie.
Yeah, okay. 2016. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, I was going to admit defeat, but I was like, all right. Capper.
Yeah. Was it 16, 17 or 15?
Yeah, 16, 17 was the year when Isaiah Thomas went bonkers.
Dang, they had the
14th
best defense.
Yeah. Let's move on. They had 60 because he was locking the fuck down that year.
What's offensive rating? Top seven? Top seven offensive rating?
Yeah, but
with still, Kyrie? Like... What was it with Kyrie? 10th best offense?
So
pretty good. Yeah. Top 10
regardless of the fact, Kyrie
picked your poison. And one made the conference finals. Again, with less offensive tools.
So they did it that year too, but Kyrie got hurt, but they still made the conference finals. But yeah, Kyrie got hurt that year.
I think this man had Jonas Jurepko playing serious minutes
for him. Oh my gosh, bro. Amir Johnson too.
Next take.
Treacherous time.
GS30, obviously a Steph Curry fan, keep that in mind, said the Warriors can still be top five in the West by the end of the year.
Oh, see?
Chat, is this a W take? Can the Warriors still get top five?
No, top five NBA draft pick? Maybe. Top five lottery pick? Probably. Draft pick? I don't know about they're not getting top five anything but a pick, bro. At this rate that they're
seeing a lot of L takes in the chat. Y'all said it for me. L take.
that's not possible.
Another Pajemski one. Y'all have so many Warriors fans in the chat. Y'all need to fuck off.
Now, what are you laughing at, Bo?
Why did you screenshot and text us? Why did you screenshot?
Just so everybody knows, I texted the other two guys. I texted them the roster that Isaiah Thomas was hooping with the year that they made the conference finals. This is Avery Bradley, young Jaylen Brown, Jay Crowder, Gerald Green, Demetrius Jackson, Jonas Jurepko.
He skipped out Horford. You skipped right over Al Horford.
I did miss him.
Al Horford. The all-star at his prime.
Did he make the all-star team?
Yes, they signed him as an all-star.
Al Horford did, yeah.
Kelly Olynyk, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, Isaiah Thomas, James Young, Tyler Zeller. Is that a conference finals team?
I see two all-stars.
It is because Isaiah Thomas led him to it. I just think that it's like.
I see two all-stars, a future DPOY, Terry Rozier, who's a bucket, Kelly Olynyk, who's a great role player.
Who made the all-star team that year?
Who made it?
Al Horford probably did.
Al Horford and Isaiah Thomas.
And Al Horford made it because Isaiah Thomas was keeping the team afloat.
Get out of here.
Next take. Jordan Poole will never be a positive basketball player ever again. He thrived in the Warriors system, but with no leash, he can't contribute anything good.
Damn, he's talking about him like he's Shane Larkin or some shit like that. Relax. Holy shit,
I think Jordan Poole can be a positive player again in a different situation. He said that he thrived in the Warriors system and he can't contribute with no leash. He has the furthest thing from a leash right now. He is the polar opposite right now of just like the shittiest situation possible for a player like him that clearly needs to play within some kind of boundaries. He can get back to the other side of the spectrum at some point in his career and not just be out there fucking like he's not cooked forever.
Yeah, exactly, man. This is from how I view Jordan Poole right now. His season with the Washington Wizards is like if you put a Lamborghini engine instead inside of like a Volkswagen minibug. Like it just doesn't work. He's gonna burn out.
No, yeah. I think this is a W take. I think that we saw a very positive stretch from Jordan Poole throughout the championship run, but he was unplayable in the second year. After he got his extension, he was unplayable. And if there was any situation that was going to allow him to thrive and still play free in a team that needed his creation and his scoring ability, it was going to be the Golden State Warriors and him scoring in that off the bench role. And he wasn't able to do it. And now we're seeing him here with, again, no leash, and he can't do it. Like he's had structure, he hasn't had structure, and he's been very volatile as a player. I don't think that we're ever going to see like positive play from Jordan Poole for a long time.
Tough. All right. Shout out Jordan Poole. Tough, man.
No shout out.
Next one. If Wade's knees didn't turn to dust, the all-time shooting guard rankings would be MJ, Wade, Kobe. Could Wade have passed Kobe if he didn't have the injury issues and had the longevity?
No. Kobe's just different, man. He was on a different level.
Exactly. There's no. I don't envision Wade surpassing Kobe unless he somehow would have won a championship through those years of despair. But before his knees turned into dust, they weren't even in. Like before they were in despair, his knees weren't in dust at all. So I don't see how that correlates to Kobe being worse.
Yeah,
it would have been hard to imagine Wade making this type of leap unless he like. If he was still in his prime for a long time and LeBron never left and they rattled off like five chips, then maybe Wade could have been in there just by the nature of having a fuck ton of rings. But It's hard to imagine that even if he stayed healthy. Like, it's nobody does that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, I'll take.
For sure.
Next up, we got two more left. Ooh. To be a top five player in the NBA, you need to be a good two-way player. Defense should be an important part of the game unless you're a revolutionary offensively like Jokic. Is this facts?
Oh, man.
It depends what you define as like good.
Ant-Man tipped $1. He said Donovan's knees turned into dust talking about Kobe.
What does that mean?
We should be grinding them on the ground, on the pavement.
Oh, I see. Clever joke. Yeah. Clever joke there.
Back to this take. I'm leaning towards W take because when you think about players who are trying to either A, get into those top five conversations and haven't been able to, or B, are inching very close to these top five conversations. You think of a player like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He could easily be a top five. Not easily, but if there was a world where he was a top five player next season, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Someone who should be a top five player, though, but isn't, holistically to the NBA community, is someone like Jason Tatum. And that's because he doesn't have a revolutionary offensive skill set.
He doesn't have the aura like that.
No, he got plenty of aura, trust me.
You have, like you said, you have to be a top-tier offensive player to not be good at defense and be top five. So that's Jokic, Curry, and Luka. Now, they're not terrible defensive players, but to varying degrees, they're shades of fine and good enough. But those are three of the best offensive players you've, like, ever fucking seen. So, W take. Like, someone like Booker. Well, no, he's a solid defender now. Who's another example? Donovan Mitchell isn't going to make his way into top five players because he doesn't contribute defensively, and he's not quite that level of, like, insane offensive player. So, I think this is W take.
Yeah, this is a good indicator of who should be top five or who will be top five in the near coming future.
Yep. Let's see. Last one.
Oh, my God, bro.
What?
I just saw Cade Cunningham basically dunk on Trae Young, but I think that dunk was called off. Right now in this game, the Atlanta Hawks are up. It is 111 to 104. 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. If nice. We lose, on God, I'm walking off this podcast.
Next hot take. Anthony Edwards is overrated. He is nowhere near the level of being top 15. People love him for his play style that reminds them of the time of the great shooting guards.
Ooh. Yeah, L take.
This is, hold on. This is not a complete L take, considering what a lot of people expected out of him this up and coming season. People thinking he was going to grab the torch and be top 10-ish or whatever. Compared to those standards, like, I would say yes, like, he as an individual hasn't had that type of season. He's had, like, just a stray of bad games in the back half of November and almost the entirety of December, excluding, like, last game because he just dropped, like, 38 or 40 or whatever. So it's understandable. It's understandable. He's only averaging 24, and he hasn't been as efficient as, I want to say, last year, I believe, off the top of my head. Let me see.
Yeah. I think before last year, I thought this was facts. He's starting to hit that level of where the hype's getting deserved. People were just early and, like, hoping it happened. It's pretty much happened. Top 15, back half, I think he could be, like, the 14th or 15th best player. That's reasonable. But some people were like, Anthony Edwards is already top 10, pushing, like, 8, 9, whatever. Like, people were putting him above, like, the ADs of the world, people in that back half of the top 10, Damian Lillard, whoever you have there. I'd slow down on that. But I could put him 14 to 15. I think that's fine.
100%. I think he can – listen, he's easily – competing with, like, and if you want to say better, then cool. Donovan Mitchell for that second spot.
That's competition.
For the spot of the second best two guard in the league. So I think top 15 is, like you said, 100% like the conversation. I don't think he's overrated. And so because of that, that's two out of this guy's 3 points that he's making that are wrong. So LJ.
Sorry.
Yeah, Zell.
I missed a donation. Rain says, as a Knicks fan, I truly believe that Julius Randle can and will be a Hall of Famer because of his ability to make all NBA teams, and I believe he will be considered in the future. And also, Jalen Brunson could be the best point guard in the league at some point.
Okay, well, first of all, I don't think anybody, not even Knicks fans, I've never heard Donovan say this. No one, no human should be able to say Julius Randle will be a Hall of Famer, or has the chance. That is gross verbiage to come out of your mouth.
It's terrible. And I need you to get help, right? I need you to be able to separate your fandom from real life, because thinking that Julius Randle is capable of being a Hall of Famer, that's absolutely ridiculous. And I don't think Brunson's ever going to be the best point guard in the league. That has a better chance of happening than Julius Randle being a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, so,
I agree.
Thank you for the $3, though. We appreciate you.
keep watching, right? Knicks fan, you stay together.
But, you know, shout out. On different fields. All right, man. Let's get some hot takes in the chat now. We're out of the Twitter ones. Chat, spam your hot takes, and I'm looking. Tyrese Maxey is a top 7 point guard right now.
Oh, guaranteed. I don't even have to think about the 7. He's top 7 easy.
Oh,
that's not even hot of a take.
Is he better than Trae Young?
Top 7 point guard this season, even though Trae Young over the last 12 games has been snapping whole season, sure, I'll give that to him.
Yeah, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Halliburton, De'Aaron Fox, Damian Lillard, Ja Morant. That's six. Are you going Tyrese Maxey over Jalen Brunson?
Yeah. No. I am personally, yeah.
I'm taking Jalen Brunson. Jamal Murray? Mm. Okay, we can get the Tyrese Maxey. LaMelo Ball?
That's tough.
Kyrie?
That's tough, yeah, too.
He can take Kyrie.
Trae Young? Why are you... Hold on. This what? Season, I was going to go back to the Jalen Brunson conversation. Why do you think Jalen Brunson is better than Tyrese Halliburton?
Well, he's doing the one option. Yeah. He makes something out of nothing a lot more. Tyrese Maxey's been great, but he gets to play off of Joel Embiid in a system that.
Oh my god! Him. Yeah, I'm tripping. I don't know why, but my mind was going to Tyrese Halliburton, CTE brain. I thought I was talking about Halliburton this entire time. What the fuck?
Oh my god!
Take back everything I said.
Oh, I spelled it wrong. I'll take.
Damn, Mo's old. 404.
Spam yeah. Mo is old. Spam Mo is old in the chat. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's mixing up Tyrese. He's racially profiling these point guards. Spam Mo is old.
Error 404 says, hot take, SGA is better than Luka.
I'll take.
Still an L take. We don't even have to talk about that one. Next one.
Wow, that's crazy.
I've seen a lot of Mo is old in the chat. Perfect. Let's get it going.
Thank you.
Yeah, I deserve that moment.
So I don't have the money to donate because I spent all the money on crayons, but this MVP race is the largest ever at this point of the season. It's up there. There's definitely a wide open MVP race right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And unlike past years, it's like wide open for all the good reasons because there's so many good players and there's so many elite cases to be brought up on the table. There's Jokic. He's, of course, eating. Joel Embiid. How the hell is he having an even better season than his last season? Then, of course, you have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Luka has to be in the conversations. Jason Tatum is, like, the routine MVP guy, too. So many players.
Yeah, man. Someone said, hot take. ATL Falcon fan says, the Hawks should trade DeJounte. Are we at that point?
I mean, we said it earlier that if they were going to, you know, make a move for Draymond, like, there's pieces that they can go acquire to kind of make their team a little bit more well-rounded. DeJounte Murray is going to be the price to pay. So, yeah, I think that's very fair.
If Trae Young is – with the way Trae Young has been playing and us still finding ways to lose, congratulations. I didn't think any NBA team could have not a generational player, but someone play this well and still find ways to be inconsistent. They've done it. And so you have to look at someone like DeJounte Murray because, sadly, he is one of the most valuable pieces on our roster who other teams would want because he's on a super team-friendly contract over the next few years. And with the salary cap situation in the NBA across the board looking weary, he's a very valuable piece in my mind.
Yep. Sid Simpson says that Paul George should go back to the Pacers.
I love that shit. Let's bring that propaganda, dude. Earlier in Paul George's podcast, he was saying that Tyrese Halliburton was showing him all the new indie restaurants and shit like that. We all need it.
I agree. It would be fantastic. 100%. Now that they have a star for him, it's like when LeBron went back to Cleveland. They wait, let them rebuild a little bit, get the guy, go back. Not that it's the same type of thing, but same, you know, situation with a star guard that's there, young and entering his prime. I would love to see it. Especially if the Clippers blow it up this year and it doesn't work out for them. Why not? What does Paul George have left to try to prove? The whole super team thing didn't work out. Let's take it back home and be beloved again.
I agree.
Need it.
And I think we should end the stream there. I think that's a good take to finish it on. I'm hungry as fuck. I need to go eat dinner. I think it's time for us to get out of here.
I'm just going to go ahead and munch.
I'm going to munch hard.
Yeah, before we leave chat, go ahead and spam Isaac is a munch.
All right. We'll see y'all later.
Yeah. No, all right.
Follow us all right, on Twitter. Munch, you see it on the screen right now. Check us out on all platforms. Go check the latest episode out. Stay tuned for next week. Something big is coming. We'll see y'all later.